Certainly it's good to see you. We have visitors and we thank you so much for being here. And we do miss those that are away from us this morning, but we certainly appreciate those that have chosen to come and be with us, and hopefully the things that we do will be pleasing in God's sight. I think a lot about getting up and teaching from God's Word, and I take it very seriously, and I know that I'm certain that in times past I've taught things that are not right in from the Word of God, and you strive to do that all your life, to teach things that are correct and proper. But with that said, I would encourage every one of you to follow along, and if I ever teach anything that is not according to God's Word, I'll quote my dad, "You'll be my best friend if you'll tell me about it." So we want to study from God's Word. We want to make sure that's what we live by. We talked about that in class this morning. I'm taking time out today away from the series that I've been teaching, because I was asked a question this last week and was asked about certain things in God's Word that we're going to study today. I try to, when someone asks me to speak on a subject matter, to try to do that right away so that it's fresh in my mind and it's something obviously that they would like to know about. So I kind of titled this A Father's Blessing, because what we're talking about is something that's interesting, especially in the Old Testament when we look at this and we think about this. Because when we look at, now we're going to do more than just talk about a father, but we are going to talk about that from two standpoints. But when we think about this, usually when we think of a blessing, we think of something that we've been given. Or maybe we think about, we'll say, someone asked a blessing over the food. We use this word in multiple ways, and well, we should, because the Bible does as well. It is one of those words that when we look at it, it has a lot of different meanings, especially when you look at the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament. For instance, I'll just give you something from the New Testament. We recently talked about the Beatitudes. And we talk about blessed, but that's a totally different word, and it means more along the lines of you'll be happy or you'll be taken care of if you'll do certain things, and this is the result of it. So it's used in a totally different way, and we have to be very careful about context, because when we look at context, we think of a lot of different things. And so we could be really confused if we didn't understand certain things about context. As we were discussing in class this morning, sometimes we talk more about things, but in context there is a certain meaning there. It doesn't mean that we can't get more out of that passage of Scripture. It just means the context is limited wherever that Scripture is. And we have to be careful not to just pick Scriptures and use them any way we choose. So we're going to talk about this today. We're going to use the term blessing, even though it can also be bless or blessed. So when we think about this, one of the things I want to talk about is mostly from the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, and I realize this is not, if I put the Hebrew up there, I certainly wouldn't know how to read it. Some in the audience might, but I wouldn't. The word is Barak. So when we look at this and we think about this, this is the one that's used the most. Now, there are other words that are used, but I just wanted to use this to show you that this is the one that's used the most. It's used about 331 times in the Old Testament and about 289 verses. So if we just looked at it and we thought, well, it has one meaning, we might want to step back and say, maybe it doesn't, and we want to look at that. Definition. Strong's that uses this to bless. Now, this will tell you how this one word, you have to be careful of context. It's just like words today that we say, we realize that there's a very similar word or an exact word, but it has a totally different meaning depending on how we're using it in a sentence. So in this case, it means to bless, kneel, to be blessed, to praise, salute, and can even mean to curse sometimes. So when you see the Greek word or the Hebrew word, it can mean to curse someone even. So we have to be very careful then in looking how it's been used. I guess you pronounce his name Gesenus. In his Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, he gives these definitions for this word. Number one, to invoke God, to praise, to celebrate, to adore, to bless God, which is done with bended knee. Typically, when we think of the word worship and we associate that with God, it's talking about kneeling, bending down before Him. Now, it may be figuratively talking that way, but it is talking about it like that. Another one, number two, it's to bless. You'll see the difference in these. Use of men towards one another to invoke blessings on anyone in the name of God. Use of the pious vows and prayers which a parent about to die, not always, conceives and expresses, that is rather his inspired and authoritative blessing. This person was asking me about this, was talking about, well, it seems odd in the Bible that one time it's done like this and another time it's done like this. What's the difference? Number three, to bless as God, man, and other created things, and very often use of the result of divine favor to cause to prosper. We use that and we say, I have many blessings. Well, that's what they did in the Old Testament as well, and they would use it like that. But it also means to salute anyone, as done by invoking a blessing on him, salutation being used in another sense merely for asking about another's welfare. That is, you could even be saying, have you been blessed today? Or you could say to them, I wish you to be blessed by God. And that's all we're talking about. So you can see this could get a little complicated if we didn't understand how it's used in context. Now, we're not going to use the 331 times it's used in the Old Testament, because I think probably most of you, by the time I got through with that, might be asleep. You might not. But we sure would miss a lot of today's activities, and that would be okay, I guess. But I don't need to use them all. I'm going to show you some of these, and we're going to talk about them. We can see from Scripture that sometimes the blessing is prophetic. Now, how could that possibly be? How is it that a human being could talk to another human being, say their offspring, and tell them something about their future? Well, there's only one way, as we've already noticed, is from those, I believe, very good definitions of this word, that it had to have been because God had told them. Now, we're not capable of doing this today. We might say to our children, if you continue along this path, this is probably what's going to happen, but I cannot tell my child. I know that 10 years from now, this is exactly what's going to happen in your life or your offspring. Sometimes it went beyond the child, way down in the future. So someone either made a very good guess, no, or God instructed them in what to tell their children. And I would argue that God's always instructed us what to tell our children, in this case, something very specific about their lives in the future. We can also see sometimes that blessings are conditional. Go to the Old Testament. You'll find this throughout the Old Testament. That when it comes to that type of blessing where God prospers them, He says, but here's the conditions. You want to be prospered? This is what you have to do, in using the word that way. Now, a blessing, though, is given from, and I'm not going to use all of them, you actually can find, believe this or not, in the Old Testament, where the things of this life bless God. So, it's interesting, I don't use that one, but let me use the ones. Man, that is a human to another man or another human. That is a type of blessing given in the Old Testament. We find a human, a man or woman, blessing given to God. We find then a representative of God to a human or a man. And that's pretty typical, and I'll talk about that later. I don't even know in some of the instances I'm going to use about this one. God to creation then, and then God to man or human. But I don't know that He directly did all of this. We could look at those scriptures and we can debate them on whether that was God directly or used agency, but we'll talk about that. Let me give you some examples of prophetic blessings. Isaac to Jacob and Esau in Genesis 27. We know the story behind this, most of us do, and I don't have the time to go into it in great detail, but certainly Isaac is being deceived and by his wife and his son Jacob the heel catcher. If you look at this and the deceiver, that was the name he was given because he had grabbed a hold, as we know, of his brother's foot as he came out, and so that's what he was named at this point. But here's Isaac, he's going to bless them. Now look at this for a moment. Then his father Isaac said to him, to Jacob, because he thought that he was Esau. And this lets us know something about blessings then and how God used them and controlled them so that the Father could not, in this instance, do something that the Father wanted to do. So this Father's blessing is not going to go to the one that He thinks it's going to. And with that, it tells us that once it was set, it was done. Come near and kiss me, my son. And he came and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. He thinks again that this is Esau. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. He's thinking he's talking to the older son. Cursed be anyone who curses you and blessed be those who bless you. Now, we know this prophetic because when he says this to him, it actually is going to happen. Esau will end up serving him and Esau will not be privileged to receive what he should have as the older son. This is a done deal. We know that peoples will serve his offspring, Jacob's offspring, not Jacob necessarily himself, but on down in the future, Israel, which would be the nation after, obviously, Israel or Jacob, that other nations would bow down. So now Esau comes and he realizes what's happened and he says, have you only one blessing, my father, in Genesis 27, 38 through 40? Bless me. Me also, my father. And you tend to feel sorry for him until you realize that he had already given up his rightful place as the older brother for a bowl of stew. So it's hard for us to feel sorry for him, as the New Testament says, because he was not a good man. He was not one that God wanted to lead his people. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live. You see, all of a sudden now Jacob is being revealed some things about this son, and he's letting him know the rest of your life is going to be basically in battle. You're not going to have a good life. And guess what? That was the same way with his people, the Edomites. They didn't have it good until finally God got rid of most of them. And you shall serve your brother. The Edomites never did, and Esau never did, have power over his brother or over the Edomites, over Israel. And it shall come to pass to this degree. When you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. And we see all of this is prophetic. And it exactly happens exactly the way he says. And Esau comes to meet his brother later on, and you can tell how Jacob is very concerned about this. And certainly that would happen. But this is what happens. He received the greater blessing. It was prophetic. Couldn't be changed. We see God control of this. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. This lets us know how critical this was and how important it was and how they knew it meant more than just taking, say, your children and saying to them, well, you'll get this, you'll get this, you'll get this. It meant much more than that. This was, they understood, from God, and it was in stone. It was final. It was the way it was going to be. Jacob to Joseph's sons in Genesis 48, 8 through 20. Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he said, well, bring them to me and I'll bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. Then Joseph brought them near him. He kissed them and embraced them. Doesn't this remind you of what he's just gone through with his father Isaac? His father Isaac couldn't see. And now here's Jacob. He can't see. He can't. He's dimly seeing these two sons. And Israel said, I had not thought to see your face. I didn't think I was ever going to see you again. In fact, God has also shown me your offspring. Can you imagine how exciting this was to see his grandsons? So Joseph brought them from before, beside his knee, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Because if this was going to be done properly, the older son right hand would be the most powerful and he would get that blessing. This is the way it should have worked. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger. And his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all of my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named with them in the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand and removed it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused. Why? Was this partiality? Was this him making the decision? This is God making the decision on how they're about to be blessed. This was a prophetic blessing. He said, I know, my son, I know he also shall become a people and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said Ephraim before Manasseh. And you look through the Old Testament, you never ever see them called Manasseh, Israel, but you will see them called Ephraim. That was, he was placed above him. Then Jacob to his sons. If you turn to Genesis 49, it's a very lengthy reading. And I just want to go through some of it. And I put up my highlights. It doesn't mean they're the best ones, it's just mine. But he starts out with Reuben. Talks about him being firstborn. But he says he's unstable and will not excel. Now this is to him, and he tells him why. So specifically, we could say in this one, he's just telling him, I know your character. Simeon and Levi, he says, they're instruments of cruelty. He said that he wouldn't have anything to do with them. He's concerned about them. He said, let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly, for in their anger they slew a man. He said, you got to watch out for them. They're two men who could do some great damage. And he says then that he's going to scatter them throughout Egypt. And we know for sure that Levi never had its own place, even the tribe of Levi. So it is prophetic to some degree. We find Judah, a lot of it's prophetic. That when he talks about Judah, he says he's the one that will be praised. Not for him being so great, as it were, but because of the fact of what's going to come from him. And he goes on to talk about your father's children shall bow down before you. Now we don't know of a time ever that the others bowed down before Judah himself. But we know in the future, figuratively speaking, everyone would bow down before Judah in the sense that they would bow down before the Christ. Because that was the one that would come from him. Judah's the lion's whelp. And he goes on and talks about that. And then he goes on to say, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Now you talk about specific. How did Jacob Israel know this? Binding his donkey to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine and his teeth whiter than milk. Then we find Zebulun. He talked about him, where he was going to actually dwell in the future, where he would be given property in Cana, which is not going to happen for a long time. And he says he will have his haven for ships and be adjoined Sidon. Issachar, he talks about him and he says that things will be good for him. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. Lets us know that sometime in their future, guess what's going to happen to them? Dan. He talks about him judging the people, but there's not a lot of good things said about Dan. I don't really think any of us would want this to say this about our children. Be a viper, a serpent, bites the horse's heels. Talks about Gad. A troop would tramp upon him, but he would triumph. Asher, his bread rich and would yield royal dainties. Naphtali, a deer let loose, and he would use beautiful words. Joseph, he said, was a fruitful bough. His branches run over the wall. His bow remained in strength, arms made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. His blessings exceeded, it said, his ancestors. That Joseph was blessed more than a lot of those that had lived before him. And then he said, Benjamin, a ravenous wolf. So we find Rebekah's mother and brother. This is examples of blessings of goodwill. Not prophetic, but blessings of goodwill. In other words, saying to someone, I wish this for you. So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servants and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate you. This is a wish they have for her. We would all wish that for our children, and they are telling her that. In Deuteronomy 33, we see Moses talking to these specific tribes, telling them how he wants them to receive the blessings of God. How if they'll be obedient to God, they'll get all of his blessings. It's a blessing of goodwill. And all, you can see by context the difference in all of these, I hope. But then we find man to God. We find the children of Israel, here they are. And we find that they have gone into this land of Canaan. And in Joshua 22, 30 through 34, now when Phinehas the priest and the rulers of the congregation, and he goes on and talks about all these people. And we see as it goes down through this, if you get on down, so the thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God. Why did they do that? Why did they kneel before God? Why did they praise God? Because of what they had received. They recognized God as the one who had given them the land, the one who had made it possible for them to possess all of this land. And then when they came out of captivity, many, many, many years later, out of Babylonian captivity, these Levites would stand up and say, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, Nehemiah 9, 5 through 8. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all of its hosts, the earth and everything in it, the sea and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites to give to his descendants. You have performed your words for you are righteous. This is, again, this word being used to talk about giving honor and praise to God. It is still something we should be doing today. We cannot give prophetic praise, but we certainly can give a blessing of goodwill, and we certainly can do that before God. And we find Christ's disciples doing the same thing. After Christ went back, they worshiped Christ here and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. But there is a kind that we want to be very careful about. Insincere praise. We didn't touch on this very much in the class this morning. We just talked about blessings and cursings. But he says, with our tongues, we use it to bless our God and Father. That is, we will say, we honor you, Father. We praise you. We glorify your high and holy name. And that Mike over there is the sorriest person I've ever met in my life. And I'm going to tell you what he's ever done. And he says, it shouldn't come out of your mouth, Abe. That's not the way this works. This is not the way you use your mouth. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be. So we can see from this that the fathers in the Old Testament blessed their children. Sometimes it contained prophecy concerning them and their descendants. So it lets us know that it came from God. That in these particular blessings, they are different from other types of blessings. Sometimes it was just a goodwill blessing and it was conditional on their obedience. For instance, Rebekah and others, the children of Israel. And the context lets us know what type. But to bless God, we certainly can see that the meaning is totally different. That I cannot bless God in the sense of prophesying anything about God, wishing Him goodwill, or anything along those lines. The way I use my tongue in that, it means that I need to kneel before Him, to praise Him, and to honor Him or salute Him as God. Because see, we can't give God anything. He has it all. Now what He wants is our love and obedience. And He is pleased with all who in faith accept His word and obey it. And He wants us to understand that we need to change our lives. We have to change. As we said this morning, we have to know His will. We have to confess the Son as the Christ and be immersed in water for the remission of sins. And obedience is the only way sins will ever be forgiven. To stay in His grace, though, as Christians, we must continue to obey Him if we expect to receive His blessings. Will you obey Him today? If you're not a Christian, will you seriously consider accepting the blessings of God through His Son and all the wonderful things that you can receive? And He has said, it is conditional. Meet my conditions, and you can have the blessings. And as a Christian, you want to continue to have them? Then meet my conditions. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?